Welcome to Empower Church. Thank you for joining us today. We are a church that has been called by God, set apart by Him, and bound together by His love. A church that aims to reach the community, the nation, and the world with a message of hope. We hope this message will build your faith, give you godly perspective, and leave you empowered to impact your community and the world.
Jesus has empowered church, scattered across homes, all around this nation, other nations in the world. God, we want you to know this evening that that's our confession, that you are worthy of it all. There's absolutely none like you. You are the great and mighty one, our King, our Lord, the majestic one, our Savior. Jesus, we bless you. We give you glory and honor and praise. What an absolute privilege to be able to worship you, whether we standing in a church, sitting in our homes, driving in a car, that we can raise our voices and just give you glory. Just give you thanks, just love on you, God. In this evening, we want you to know that we love you with all of our hearts. We mean it when we say it. Jesus, you are beautiful in all of your ways. Thank you that you have loved us first. God, we just give you our love in this evening, our adoration, our praise. We bless you. In your name we pray. Come on, if you agree with that, if that's your prayer in this evening, won't you say amen? Type amen. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. There we are in your home, if you can, if you want to. Come on, won't you just give Jesus some praise, just in your own way. Whether you want to just give him a round of praise, just shout out his name, just say, Jesus, I love you. But just in your own way, just love him, just give him praise and honor. Make your worship personal this evening and just tell him how much you love him. Jesus, you are worthy of it all. We bless you in this night. Amen and amen. It would have been great to say, church, can we give this worship team a round of praise? But there where you are in your home, thank you to our online team that's here in the building for doing that. But thank you to our worship team. You guys are awesome. So appreciate you. It's been amazing. Good evening, Empower Church. It's so good to be with you tonight. It's so good to share the word of the Lord with you. I'm just excited to be with you. I believe that the Lord has something for us tonight, and I believe that the Lord wants to do something in every single one of our lives, just in a way that I believe will leave us changed. As I leave this place tonight, as you switch off your online stream, so won't you invite somebody, tag a friend, share this on a neighbor's timeline, send it to your neighbor in a WhatsApp message, just invite somebody and say, hey, join us for church tonight. It's going to be amazing. So welcome to all of you, Liesl, Alida, and everybody from Witbank. So good to see you with us. Gail, Sonika, Mrs. Mahapa, good to have you with us. Trust that Howard is doing well. Salamina, good to see you as well. My regards to Mulefe. Stefani, good to see you. Boitumelu, Amurai, everybody in Cape Town, everybody in Durban, everybody in the Free State and from wherever you're watching, just welcome, welcome, welcome. It's so good to see all of you with us. Andile, Marius, Juan, all the way from Australia. Good to see you, my brother. Father, I pray in this evening, as we open your word, help us to see the word. Holy Spirit, reveal to us Jesus. Help us to see the absolute beauty, the majesty, the glory, the splendor, and the power that's found in Jesus. Help us to look beyond a sermon, a message, and help us to see your heart and what you want to say. Lord, we say, here we are. We've got ears to hear. Speak to us as your church in this evening. In Jesus' name I pray. If you agree with that, won't you say amen and amen and amen. It's so good to have all of you with us. I want to chat to you tonight for the next 2 to 3 hours around. Always some excited people. For those of you that's new, please don't log off now. Don't leave it. I promise it won't be 2 to 3 hours. But I want to speak to you for the next couple of minutes, just using the title, These Signs Shall Follow. I want to speak to you about signs tonight. I believe, I pray tonight that we would be able not just to see, what are the signs that God is showing to His church right now, but that every single one of us will be reminded in this evening that God has made us to be a sign to our generation. Come on, is there anybody that's excited about the word of the Lord? I am tonight. I want to start by posing a question to you. If you think about church, or let's say if we had to look at church from the world's perspective, and for many of us, we've been in church our whole lives, so we see church from the inside out. But if you would imagine yourself being somebody out there, somebody that's completely lost, somebody that doesn't know God, somebody that's angry at God, somebody that's not in church, how would you see, what sign would come to your mind if you think about church? What's the sign that the church is portraying to the world right now? I grew up in a traditional church, and we had a little sign at the gate that says Stilte Kerk. Anybody from a traditional church that remember those little signs, little board that says Stilte Kerk, Silent Church? Maybe there's many people that look at the church today and that's what they see. It's this organization that's just quieting every other voice and just saying, listen, we've got the answer and this is the only answer. Don't say anything else. This is the only way. This is the only truth. And Jesus is the only way, the only truth. He is that, absolutely. But I believe there's people that's looking for a place where they can voice something as well. Maybe as people look at the church, what they see is a sign that says turn or burn. I actually drove past a church the other day. I don't want to say in which area, it's not too far from here. And there was actually a sign at church. It was in Afrikaans, but it said clearly, this is the time to turn or you will burn. And I don't think that's the message that Jesus wants His church to portray out, to speak out, to echo out to the world right now. I'd love to think that many people look at the church in our day and age and see a sign that says, welcome home. For me, that's always been something that makes me feel like that's the message that the church should see as they drive past. That's the board next to the road that you say, welcome home. Everybody's welcome. This is your home. You can come. Everybody's welcome. I wonder if people look at our lives as representation of the church. What are the signs that will be echoing from our lives? What signs will people see if they look at our lives? And I want to speak to you about what I believe should be the signs that we as a church follows in this time. All of you would know that as you drive around, there's different signs across the road, next to the road, that points you in the right direction. Cape Town left, yes please. Durban right. Bloemfontein straight. Check this speed limit here. Check this turn off there. These signs govern us. It helps us. It guides us to where God wants us to go. And I believe that God is giving signs to the church today. It's not new signs. It's signs that has been there for the last 2,000 plus years. But signs that I believe that should be governing the church right now. I think about the amount of people that I've heard preach about scriptures like Matthew 24 to Timothy chapter number 3. That speaks about the signs of our time. Pastor Gilbert spoke about it this morning, and I think there's some guys that has done incredible expositions on those scriptures. And I fully agree that it's absolutely important that we as the church should know exactly where we find ourselves on God's timeline. But I've heard so many preachers and churches preach a message that's so stuck in some of those scriptures that they themselves have conformed to the very signs of the times. And what I mean by that, if we quickly read through some of those scriptures, in Matthew chapter number 24, speaks about people being deceived. It speaks about people that will be offended, betraying one another, hate one another. False prophets will arise. Lawlessness will abound. 2 Timothy chapter number 3 says, in last days there will be men that will become lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. Absolutely. Are we seeing those signs? Yes, we do. Do we know that we are finding ourselves in that place on God's timeline? Absolutely, yes. But we can't preach a message that stirs fear in the hearts of people. in this time that we are living in, we as the church should still be preaching a message of hope. I read those scriptures and it almost feels like that's the message to the church, to say, hey, you've got to realize when you're seeing the things that you're seeing now, pestilences, earthquakes, nation against nation, people rising up against one another, you must know that you find yourself in extremely important times. We should know that. But the question we must ask is, God, what do you want us to do in these times? And as I said, so many people have preached this message from a completely different angle, and it's done nothing but stir fear, not just in the hearts of those hearing it outside the walls of the church, but even those finding themselves inside the walls of the church. Many people live in fear because they know that the times that we're in are crucially challenging, important times. But they don't know how to navigate themselves in the times that we find ourselves in right now. If I think about some of these messages that I've heard, it makes me think of a storm warning siren. I'm not sure if anybody's ever heard that. We don't have a lot of them here in South Africa because we don't have tornadoes and tsunamis and some of the other nations around the world you find them. But I want to play you something. I just thought it was brilliant when I downloaded an app this afternoon. I think my boy loved it more than me. Aiden, why don't you just tone down on the keyboard? I'm going to play this sound and I hope this will come out right. But listen to the siren. Listen to the sound. I don't know about you, but if I was living in one of those nations and I would hear a siren like that, the first thing that will come to my mind is just get your family, get the kids, just dive into your underground basement bomb shelter that you've built yourself. And I think many people find themselves living Christianity that way right now. Not just are they hearing fear, fear, fear from every source out there, even in many churches and religious circles, people are hearing the exact same thing. Fear, fear, fear. And in this week, as I was sitting with the Lord, I just felt the Lord challenge me to say, Eric, the church needs to be a voice that echoes, not a siren that sounds like that. Though it's in important times that we're living in, though we should be warning people that we are nearing the end of the end, and we should have our lives in right standing with God, absolutely. But we cannot make a sound to the world out there that just echoes the fear that they are bombarded with already. We should make a different kind of a sound. Aiden, can you make a happy sound on the keyboard? Aiden's going to do a happy sound. I don't know how he's going to do it, but I just do a happy sound, Aiden. I need it more happier than that, Aiden. Come on. There we go. There we go. Aiden, come on, happy sound. There we go. Hey, come on. There we go. We've got movement in the sound desk at the back. Happy sound. I thought about it this afternoon. You know what was one of the happy sounds as I grew up as a kid? You can stay there, Aiden. I love that word. Any of you ever had the ice cream truck come past your house? Just anybody online? Anybody that's ever had the ice cream truck? Just give me like an ice cream emoji if that was you. I remember it was normally on Sunday afternoons when my mom and my dad was taking a nap and we were supposed to be quiet. I would hear that ice cream siren come down the road and we would just charge out of there. Come on, anybody else? I mean, you would climb through a window if needs be. But that was the sound that got you moving. I'm not sure what's the sound. Can we just maybe take the keyboard like a slight bit down? It's very hard on the monitors here in the front. I'm not sure what the sound is that gets you moving. Think about it quickly. What are some of the sounds? I'm not seeing any ice cream emojis. That worries me. There we go. Janine. Janine also had an ice cream truck in Witbank. I hope you grew up there. Polar, absolutely. Or that little bell when that guy came with his bicycle with that big box of ice cream and you hear that little clocky go ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling. Come on, anybody else? Okay. Tough crowd. There is no crowd. anybody online? Okay, there's ice creams going. I see that. Awesome. I don't know what sound gets you moving. Maybe it'll be the sound as you sit in your home and you hear raindrops falling outside on your roof.
Most people in my house, definitely, we all jump up and we watch outside like, hey, it's raining. And I mean, if you've got kids, you would know at that point in time, extremely difficult to keep them in-house. Everybody wants to run out in the rain. I think there's many sounds like that. I was thinking this afternoon, I actually Googled some of the top sounds in the world. Crazy what some of the top sounds in the world are. But they say one of the sounds that gets people the most excited is when a PlayStation gaming console is being switched on. Do I have any gamers? Any gamers? I've definitely got some gamers at the back. Any gamers online? Okay, I've clearly got some gamers in the sound desk. It makes a whole lot of sense. Sound desk, multimedia, gamers. Okay, I get all of you. Any other gamers online? I actually had to go and YouTube the sound PSP being switched on. And I mean, when I heard it, I was like, okay, yeah, I've heard that before. But some of those sounds get people moving. It stirs something within you. And please, Adam, I'm not saying that the church should be an ice cream truck in our generation. But I do believe there's something beautiful found in that. Because I don't believe that the sound that the church makes, what people see and hear from us, should be a sound that drives people into an underground cave or dungeon hiding from some tsunami. It should be a sound that gets people running out into the open. It should be a sound that gets people excited. One of the sounds that I think would get any person excited, if you're in a football stadium or rugby stadium and you're busy fixing your sammies there or getting yourself something to drink, and all of a sudden you just hear the crowd erupt, that break, that goal, that whatever that person scores, and the whole stadium just erupts in praise. It doesn't matter what you've been busy with here, you will just jump up with the crowd to see what's going on. And I feel like that should be the message, that should be the sound, that should be what the world sees. A group of people that jumps up, that screams, that shouts, that cheers for the one that is greater than every other name. For the one that is able to save us in perilous times, to save us from all forms of pestilence, to move us through the season that we find ourselves in, into a season where we will truly look back and say, yes, we have gone through difficult times, but we have gone from strength to strength, glory to glory. Come on, that's the times that we live in right now. And we should be a church that make a sound, that show a sign to the world out there that, hey, we look different than the world. We look different than the voice of fear, the voice of anxiety, the voice of condemnation that people are living under. People should come to church and praise God. May we see that happening sooner than later, where they walk through these doors and actually find hope in a place like this. Not another message of fear, not another message saying that, you know, these are the things that will come and this is the challenges that will await and this is the things that you must watch out for and this is the things that you must deny yourself. And is that part of our message? Absolutely, but we cannot give a message without hope. Our message must always be rooted in the one that is called hope, Jesus Christ. He is our hope. That's the message of the church. That's what we should be shouting, screaming out there to the world right now. I want to read you a scripture. That was my introduction, by the way. I'm still not serious about the 2 to 3 hours. But I want to read you just a portion of scripture from Acts chapter number 1 and 2. Because I believe there's a couple of signs in the book of Acts chapter number 1 and 2 that should be the visible signs that the church lives by in this time right now. That's the message that I believe the Lord wants to share with us tonight. Acts chapter number 1, verse 3 says that Jesus spoke to his disciples a message of the kingdom. I believe one of the first things that we must see in the church, and I'm not just talking about Empower Church, I'm talking about the church around the world. The first thing that I believe God wants us to have is a clear message. A message of hope, a message that's not one of condemnation, a message that is clear that this is the time for God's kingdom to be manifested more than ever before. That's why so many people say, why in a time like this is the church still preaching? Come on, we can do it. Come on, we can advance. Come on, we can grow. No, no, no. You should be hiding. You should be protecting what you've got. You shouldn't be taking bold steps. But truly, this is the time where the kingdom of God needs to advance. Churches need to grow. Churches need to expand. Lives need to change. Come on, that's part of the message. And we should have a clear message. Jesus commanded them not depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the time or the season which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Come on. I believe one of the signs that the church should have in this time, something that should visibly be seen in every single church around the world, is a baptism of power. Come on, we cannot do what God has called us to do in a day and age like this without the Holy Spirit. It's absolutely impossible. You cannot preach a message void of the Holy Spirit empowering the believer. We cannot just preach about some of the truths in Scripture. This is the time to give everything to every single person. And one of the key truths that's been left out in many churches is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of fire. I believe that the world should not just hear our message. They must see our message. They must see the fire of God burning in our eyes. They must see the fire in our eyes in how we love people, how we hug them, how we step out and touch the lives of others. The visible sign of the baptism of the Holy Spirit should be upon our lives. Many people believe that the sign of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues. Absolutely. But I believe there's a clearer sign that should be more visible than that, and that is how you live your life from day to day. It's not just have you got the ability to pray in tongues. Can I sound spiritual when I come to a church meeting and how loud I can pray in tongues? No. Can we see the fire of God burning in your life? Can we see the fire of God burning in your eyes? When you open your mouth to pray, can we hear the fire of God on your lips? Can we see it in the way you love your wife? Can we see it in the way you love your children? Can we see it in the way you minister, the way you move and live and have your everyday being? Can we see the fire of God in your life? It should be a visible sign to us as a church. And Jesus said, you will receive this power. Why? So that you will be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the world. I believe one of the things that should be visible in our day and age in every single church is a sign called witnessing. 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 We have made witnessing like an outreach program in many churches. It's like witness is something we do when Pastor Derek leads an outreach like once a term. Or when we do a beanie and blanket drive every winter as a church, then that's my time to reach out to witness to somebody. No, witnessing should be part of my everyday life. The way you witness to your children. Come on, sometimes we think it's about me witnessing to the lame guy at the supermarket, or witnessing to the guy next to the road, or witnessing to my colleague. Witnessing starts with how you witness to your own family. How you witness to your children, how you witness to your wife, your husband. How you witness to your colleagues? How do you witness to your neighbor? If your neighbor looks at your life and he looks at mine, what is the life that he sees? Does my life witness one that is in love with Jesus? One that leans into a God that is an immovable, unshakable rock? Or am I just witnessing a life that is filled in fear and anxiety and hopelessness and despair? Acts 2 verse 1, jumping into the next chapter, it says, listen to this. I think one of the keys for us as a church in the times that we're living in now is a sign called unity. It says that they were together in one accord, praying, waiting for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the gift from the Father. The one that Jesus promised to them. How's the unity looking in the church right now? And I'm not just talking about the church in terms of how's the unity looking amongst church leaders and church circles and board members and networks of churches. How's the unity in our hearts towards one another as believers, as brothers and sisters? I'm not sure if I'm still speaking to the right church tonight. How's the unity in our hearts? And unity does not mean that we all agree on everything all the time. It means that we agree to disagree on whatever method might be different, but the goal that we should all strive to should be one goal, and that is what you've heard this church just proclaim from this pulpit over and over. It stands bold on the TV behind on the other side of the auditorium, and it's something called souls. Souls. It's about souls. It's about loving God and loving people. It's about seeing His kingdom being grown, expounded in the lives of people. It's about reaching people. Do we have the same goal? What is our goal? What is our mandate? What is our mission? What is our vision as a church? It should be souls, people, reaching people, seeing the kingdom of God being manifested in our generation. Seeing people grow and mature in their walk in God, seeing people in love with Jesus, seeing people fall head over heels in love with the King, giving their lives completely to the one that gave His to them, and following Jesus with everything they've got. That should be our goal. That should be the one thing that brings us together. Doesn't matter what church denomination you're from, if we can agree upon that, we can walk together. That it's about souls, it's about people, it's about seeing God's kingdom grow. And then we see in Acts chapter number 2 how the Holy Spirit comes upon them. And they are filled with the Holy Spirit and with power. A baptism of fire. A baptism of fire. May this be the time where we see an outpouring of God's Spirit on His church like we've never seen before. I've heard it prophesied from various different people. It's been prophesied from this pulpit this morning again. We have to believe, God, that this is the time, irrespective of what's happening in the world around us, that this is the time that we will see an outpouring of God's Spirit on us like we've never seen before. It's impossible for us to step into what God has destined for us to step into as a church without the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon our lives. What's awesome out of Acts chapter number 2, it's the moment that the Holy Spirit is poured out. You know the story. They start speaking in other tongues. People come out. They think they're drunk. And then Peter steps out. The same Peter that just a couple of days earlier denied Jesus in front of a little girl. That same Peter, the timid one, now steps out in the same boldness that we saw in his life as he journeyed with Jesus for 3.5 years. That same Peter steps out and he preaches a message in great boldness. I believe one of the keys, one of the visible signs in the church today is boldness. Come on, how bold are we in what we declare? How bold are we in what we believe? How bold are we in what we say? How bold are we in how we live our lives? Boldness. Boldness. Come on, this is the time for us to be brave, to be bold. I remember the first message that the Lord gave me just after lockdown last year. He said to me, Eric, this is the time to be brave and courageous. And I still believe it holds true today. This is the time for us as a church to be brave, to be courageous, to be full of strength, to say, God, I will stand and I will keep on standing for Your word. Come on, boldness. It should be seen in the church today. I'm jumping through it. We see Peter. What I love about that sermon that Peter preached there in Acts chapter number 2 is the way that he expounded on the life of Jesus and the way he tied it into Old Testament scripture. He showed them from scripture that the very one that they crucified, that was the Messiah. He's the one. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the way he expounded on scripture. And as I read that, I just realized again, one of the visible signs that we should see in the church today is a spirit of revelation. Come on, you've got to be at a place and not just say, hey, listen, my pastor's got some great revelation that he shares every Sunday. But you yourself need to open the Word and find the heart of God being revealed to you as a person in there as well. You should have that same spirit of revelation upon you as you sit with people in the workplace, that you can open the Scriptures and say, that problem that you've got in your family, that problem that you've got with your spouse, that problem that you've got in your health, that problem that you've got financially, let me open the Scriptures to you and reveal to you, revelation, the heart of God. One of the visible signs, I believe, in the church today should be the spirit of revelation. And we have almost Christianized that word to an extent where we have lost the power of what it actually means. And we've made it so spiritual that some people think that it's a big word. It's just for big men. Men that preach and men on pulpits. No, every single one of us carry within us the Holy Spirit. The one that says, I will reveal to you the very things that Jesus said. The words of Christ, His heart, His words, His intentions for you for this day. I will reveal that to you. We all carry within us the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of revelation. And we should be able in this time to understand what God is saying. And can I just say this? Other than what you hear on a Sunday, what is God saying to you? What is God saying to you? What is God revealing to you in your own personal time? Because woe unto us if the only things that we hear God revealing to us are the words of other men. And please, I'm the first guy to say that I love to come to church on a Sunday and hear the word of God revealed to me. I love to learn from other people. I love to sit under teaching. But you yourself, every single one of us need to get to a place where we ourselves say, God, reveal your heart to me for my life, for my family. God, reveal your intentions, reveal your plans. Come on, we all have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling inside of us. And every single one of us should have that same desire to say, God, speak to me as well. Reveal your heart to me. Show to me your intentions, your plans, the purposes for my life. Speak to me about this generation. Speak to me about my city. Speak to me about my workplace. Speak to me about people. Reveal to me your heart, God. A spirit of revelation. It should be a sign that's visible in the church today. I feel like I'm preaching to the choir this evening. You're still there in power. Acts chapter number 2, verse 37 to 39. I love this. The people come to Peter and they say, Peter, what shall we do? And Peter says to them, repent and be baptized. Repent and be baptized. That spirit of repentance, that place where we see people turning from one direction to another, that should be a constant visible sign in the church today. A constant visible sign where we see the lives of people being changed. Come on, what is it if we can share all the revelation from Scripture, but it doesn't change lives? What does it help if we can preach incredible sermons and open up the Scripture in incredible ways, but it doesn't bring about a change of direction, a spirit of repentance in the lives of people? Repentance. I'm jumping into my favorite scripture, one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible, Acts chapter number 2, verse 42 to 47. Acts chapter number 2, verse 42 to 47. I've preached out of this scripture many a times in my life before because I believe it gives us a beautiful picture of what the church should look like. I know that the church of 2021 years ago and the church that we're living in today will look different. There's a different vehicle. There's a different context in how we do church, but the message can never change. The heart of God for His church can never change. And listen to this. This is what we should be seeing in the church today. Acts chapter number 2, verse 42 to 47. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in the word. Number 2, in the breaking of bread. Many people just look at that and say, well, that gives us a picture of communion. It's not just a picture of communion. But the breaking of the bread actually speaks about depth of relationship, fellowship. If you invited somebody to your house back in the day and you had a meal with them, it was an indication that you invited them into friendship. One of the signs that I believe we should see in the church today is a true depth in relationship. The apostles' doctrine, fellowship, the breaking of bread, depth of relationship, and prayer. These are all signs that I believe should be clearly visible in the church today. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done. Next one, I believe that where we find ourselves today, there should be a manifestation of God's presence. There should be a manifestation of God's kingdom that's visible. What blesses me is to see the testimonies coming in of how different people have prayed, laid hands on the sick, and we have seen people recovered. The testimonies that come in of people that needed a desperate breakthrough, a miracle. People that prayed for jobs and for employment and for finances and anything and everything you can imagine. And we see God answering prayer. We see God bringing breakthrough. That's the God we serve. That's what we saw in the church 2,000 years ago. And that's what should be visible in every church. not just a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, but that we would be a church that functions in power. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common. Once again, there was a sense of unity. There was a spirit of unity amongst them. Verse 45, it says, and they sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. Just want to pause there for a moment. That's one of the signs that I struggle to see in many churches in the day and age that we're living in today. We can see signs, wonders, and miracles. We see people diving into the Word and having that as their highest authority. We see fellowship, depth of relationship. We see unity. We see a whole lot of things. But one of the things that we so lack to see in many churches is a spirit of generosity, a spirit of giving amongst one another. And that's one thing that was clearly visible in the church 2,000 years ago. Is that nobody had need because they divided everything they had amongst themselves. It gives us this beautiful picture of a relationship between brothers and sisters that's so connected, that's so intimate, that I would know what Richard needs. And because I know what he needs, if I've got what he needs or I can help in whatever he lacks in, I will give. That spirit of giving, that spirit of generosity. And I think in the day and age that we find ourselves in today, in the climate where we find ourselves in, where there's so much fear and anxiety about what the future holds and about what will happen to our economy and what will happen with our unemployment figures in this nation, so many people are holding on to things. And I think this is actually the time where we should be sowing into the lives of people, where we should be more generous than ever before. Can we just remind ourselves tonight that heaven has no lack? There's no recession or pandemic in heaven. Jesus is not holding on to stuff for a later stage. He's not banking some things, keeping it one side for whenever things are tough. No, no, no. He's got all of the supply. Everything belongs to Him. And I believe this is a time where we as a church should step into that with greater intensity. To say, now is the time to be generous. Now is the time to give extravagantly. Now is the time to bless people. Come on, can you imagine how, I've said it before, we often say, you know, we should preach the gospel, tell people about Christ. Sometimes the best way and you can preach, the best way that you can preach Christ is by giving to somebody. We've seen it as we reached out to different people, homeless people, all kinds of people over the last couple of years. That's one thing to bring a message of hope, but if you can bring something tangible for that man to eat or for him to put on his cold body, that in itself proclaims a message of hope, of love. And that is the message that the world needs to see today. Christians, that's doing more than just saying we love you, but showing that we love you and how we give of ourselves. And that includes of how we give of our finances, our material possessions. A spirit of generosity. I'm not sure if I'm still speaking to the right church here tonight. A spirit of generosity. Then it says, verse 46, so continually daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. Come on, we've just got to remind ourselves again that was God's design for the church from the very beginning. That we would be in a place where we would constantly gather together. You've heard it said from this pulpit, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. The church cannot be closed. The church cannot stop gathering. That's the design. It's God's design. Whether we gather in the temple or in our local modern wording, the church, whether we gather online, it doesn't matter how we gather, but we need to gather. There's a sense of togetherness that's part of God's design. It's a sign to the world out there. That's why there's such a longing in our hearts to be together. Praise God for online church. Praise God for every person that can log in from Australia or from the UK or the States or Cape Town, Durban. But we've got to be able to gather here as well. We've got to be able to open the doors of this church and have this place sitting full of people, worshiping Jesus together, having fellowship with one another, strengthening one another. That's the biblical design. I know the people in Cape Town, they're eager to gather again. And every location that's represented on this online platform, there should be a desire in all of our hearts to say, it doesn't matter where we find ourselves in history, what's going on in the world around us, I cannot stop gathering. The sense of togetherness, that's what makes us a body. That's what makes us a body. It's the fact that we are joined together. They were gathering in the church. They were gathering in homes. They ate their food with gladness and a simplicity of heart, that sense of joy. Such a sign, I believe, for the church in the day and age that we're living in today. How much of the joy of the Lord is still visible in our lives? Come on, I'm not sure if I'm speaking to any happy people. People that can say, you know what, irrespective of what's going on in my life, irrespective of some of the challenges that we've been through, people that we've lost, money that we've lost, whatever we've gone through, I can still say the joy of the Lord is my strength and therefore I can be full of joy. Come on, is there any people that can say, hey, that's me, I can still have joy in God? Come on, we cannot be a church walking around proclaiming to say, hey, we've got the answer, but we look like we are, as somebody's once said, baptized in lemon juice. We cannot live our lives that way. We've got to be people that live our lives in joy, in gladness of heart. That's what we see in the life of Jesus. That's what we should be seeing in our lives. Doesn't matter where we find ourselves, joy should always be our portion. Verse 47, praising God. Come on, that sense of praise and worship, that continuous worship where my lifestyle becomes a worship. Not just what I do on a Sunday morning or evening when we gather for church, but that my lifestyle becomes a lifestyle of worship. In everything I do, that I'm praising God continuously. Why? Because I'm thankful. I'm overflowing out of gratitude for what God has done for me in my life. Having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Let me read that again. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. My last sign, 20 of them in total, is growth. The church should be growing. This is the time more than ever before where we should be seeing incredible growth. Not just in numbers, not just on the amount of people that's logging on an online service, not just the amount of likes on our sermons or our postings. No, the amount of growth that's taking place in how many people we are actually reaching, how many lives are actually changing, how many people are getting saved, how many people are following Jesus through the waters of baptism, how many people are encountering God and being filled and baptized in the Holy Spirit. How many people have we seen that whose marriages have changed? How many people have we seen that's received breakthrough in their health? How many people have we seen grow in their walk in God, in their relationship, in their understanding of how much God loves them? How much growth have we seen? If the church is not constantly moving forward, it means that we're out of step with God, because God is constantly moving forward. God is ever advancing. God never stands still. You won't find Him today where the place where He was yesterday. He's always moving forward. There's always growth. There's always advancement. As He breathes, things are being shaped and changed continuously. That's the God that we serve. And we should not stand back for anything, anyone, any report in this day and age and say, no, now's not the time to grow. Now's not the time to take that bold step of faith. No, now is the time. If God is stirring your heart, start that business. Spoke to somebody earlier today. Say, I feel like God is challenging me to quit my job and start a business. Start that business. If you know God is speaking to you, start it. If this is the time where you feel God is stirring you to step out into a form of ministry or whatever, take that step. Be bold. Be courageous. Let the kingdom of God grow and expand through your life. This is the time. This is the moment. This is the hour. This is the season that will forever shape the church. Or this is the season that will forever shape the church. One of the two. We can either look at that positive or negative. This will either be the season that will see the church move to greater heights, greater strength, glory to glory, from grace to grace, power to power. This is either that season, or it will be the season that will see many churches close their doors. And we've seen that. That's not God's design. It's not His intention. This is a time for the church to grow. Why did the Lord add people to their numbers daily? I believe it's because there were visible signs guiding people to the church. Don't tell me in that day and age that the people around these disciples, remember it started off with 120 people in the upper room. But when the Holy Spirit got poured out, the Bible tells us on that day, 3,000 were added. All of a sudden, we have a movement. We've got thousands of people that's following Christ through the waters of baptism. We see lives being changed. We see families being impacted. I can guarantee you that the people around these people saw a visible change. They saw some of these signs. They saw people that's committed to the word of the Lord. They saw people in fellowship. They saw people walking in signs, wonders, and miracles. They saw people being generous. They saw people with fire burning in their eyes, with joy on their heart, in their hearts. They saw signs, and those signs directed people towards the church. That's why the church grew. Come on, if the church is not growing in South Africa today, then we are not a sign to the world that they can clearly see this is where I'm supposed to go. I'm not sure if I'm still speaking to the right church this evening. Come on, if there's no signs visible showing the people, the world around us, those that are lost, those are without God, those that are angry with God, if there's no signs in the church today pointing people in the right direction, the church will never grow. Can we see these signs in the church today? Can I be honest with you? I sat this afternoon and I was thinking about some of these signs, and I felt that question in my heart. Do we see some of these signs in the church today? And I want to boldly say, yes, we do. In Empower Church, we are seeing these signs. Thank you, Aiden. I've got one amen. I wonder if I've got more amens online as well. In Empower Church, we are seeing these signs. I can look at some of the people seated here. I look at Richard, and I see boldness. Not just in some of the posts that he makes on Facebook, but the way that he speaks to people, the way that he prays, the way that he interacts, I see boldness. I look at my wife and I see that intensity in which she pursues God. When Jesus said, go and wait in the upper room, wait on God, hunger for Him, long for Him, lean into His presence, because something is going to be poured out upon you. I see that in my wife. Every morning, in the early morning hours, late evening hours, when she's pressing in to His presence, when she's seeking God, I can see that in my wife, and there's many others as well. I look at Derek, Pastor Derek, and I see that spirit of evangelism, if I can call it that, that spirit of witnessing, if I can call it that. I see a man that witnesses wherever he goes. Doesn't matter if it's in church, if it's at spa, if it's at a school, wherever Pastor Derek goes, he's witnessing. Why? Because the same spirit that lived in Jesus is the same spirit that lives in him. He's compelled to witness. I look at Pastor Stefan and Milani, and I see within them two people, many of these signs I see in their lives, but I see within them people that accurately represents the depth of relationship that Jesus was speaking about. People that's not just having a relationship with people on like face value. It's like a shallow kind of a relationship. No. They've got the depth of relationship. They are the kind of people that will go deep with you in the relationship. They will go with you where other people won't go. They will cry with you, laugh with you, go on holiday with you. Bless you and amen. I can see within them the kind of relationship that Jesus was speaking about. I look at Cornei Olkers, best drummer in the world, by the way, and I see in Cornei Olkers a man that is steadfast in prayer. Many a times I would know in the morning as I sit that he's praying for me. He doesn't have to send me a message saying, Eric, I'm praying for you. I know that he's praying for me. I know that he's praying for every church leader in this church, every single day of his life. I know that he's a man that's committed to prayer. If I've got a prayer request, there's one man I can phone. I say, Cornei, pray with me. And I know that Cornei will pray with me. I see so many of these signs in so many people in Empower Church. I look at some of the names on screen. I think of our guys in Cape Town. I have seen the beauty of fellowship in that group of people. A group of people that were scattered online, got together and just started forming a family. Every time that we've gone to Cape Town and I look at Rion and Hunty and all the guys in Cape Town, I see this family. I see the sense of fellowship. It blesses me. It's beautiful. It's incredibly beautiful because it looks like Jesus. That's the signs of the time. Anybody can walk past that cinema or wherever we'll be gathering when we open church doors again and just look at that group of people and say, hey, I want to be part of that. They can look at Vera or Tani Vera or Erika or Rian or anybody in the Cape Town group and just look at them and say, I want to be part of that family. I want that same kind of warmth in relationship. I want to have the same kind of hugs. I want to have the same kind of love. I want to have the same kind of support that every single one of the people in that group has. Come on, that's what I see. I was thinking about people in our church, and I don't want to name names because there's so many people in this church, but every one of these signs are signs that I'm seeing in our church in this day, in this age. And it should be like that. Come on, if you look at that church, Pastor Derek, can we throw up those signs? Think with me for a moment. Whoever you are and wherever you're watching from, think with me. Who are some of the people in your life that you see those signs in their lives? Somebody that's got a clear message, a bold message. Somebody that personally pursues God, a hunger for God that's beautiful to behold. Somebody that's out there witnessing continuously. Somebody that you can see they live their life in fire. Somebody in boldness. Somebody that's got a gift to reveal the word of the Lord to other people. Next couple of signs. Somebody that's got an absolute love for God's word, for fellowship, depth of relationship. If you know people of that, won't you do me a favor and tag them into the stream right now? Whether they are completely disconnected from church, whether they're not even maybe following God, maybe there's people that just overflows with joy. Whenever you see them, they smile. They might not even be saved. It doesn't matter. Tag them into the street and say, hey, John, I see the joy of the Lord in your life. Come on, celebrate. I've said this many times before. I think one of the things that's lacking in the church today is the spirit of encouragement. Where you can actually look at people and say, hey, well done. Thanks for your commitment. Thank you for being here tonight, standing behind that camera. Thank you for dropping your wife off this morning, my friend, for her to come and lead worship. That is the kind of commitment. Doesn't matter. Sunday, it's cold, it's summer, it's winter. It doesn't matter that people are committed. That kind of commitment, that's one of the signs, I believe, that the church should be showing the world. That this is the time to stand up and be counted for. Doesn't matter what kind of persecution comes, that we are saying, no, we have made a stand for God. Tag some people. Doesn't matter who they are. Saved, not saved. In this church, not in this church. The other church, doesn't matter. Tag some people. Say, hey, I look at your life and I see generosity. I know some people in this church, they just continuously give. They just give. They just give. They just give. It blesses me to see people like that. Even when they have lack, they just give. Tag some people like that into the stream. Say, hey, I celebrate you today for being so generous. I celebrate you for being a person that's filled with joy. Let's take Aiden, Pastor Murray. Worship is not something they do. Worship is who they are. Come on, worship is who they are. For anybody that knows Pastor Murray or knows Aiden would know that worship is who they are. It's an expression of who they are. And we should celebrate that and say, hey, we see that. We see the church constantly praising God, constantly enjoying God in worship and praise. And because of that, they had favor with people. They had favor with God. Why? Because God inhabits the praises of His people. They're more than just people that play an instrument. They worship us. We should celebrate. Say, hey, Aiden, I tag you at Aiden Pillay, at Murray van Wyk. I tag you. Say, thank you for being such an accurate representation of Jesus. Thank you for showing the world how beautiful Jesus is through your worship. Come on. How many of these signs are not visible in the church today? And forgive me if sometimes we preach a message in a way, or if I have preached a message in a way where we have not celebrated what we see more than what we mention things that we don't see. Are some of these signs lacking in my life? Absolutely. Are some of these signs lacking in your life? Yes, they are. Are some of these signs lacking in our church, many other churches? Absolutely. But may this be a day and age, an hour, where we can encourage one another to say, hey, I see some of these things in your life. I see some of these things in our church. And we can celebrate that and say, no, Empower Church is a church where we can look at and say, hey, it looks a whole lot like the church in the book of Acts. It looks a whole lot like that. And thank you, Jesus, that we can be part of something that accurately represents you. And God, help us to change in the areas where we're not accurately representing you. God, if we're lacking in areas, if there's things here that's not lining up with your word, in our church, in our lives, in our families, God, help us to change that. That the people will look at this church and say, yo, That looks like Jesus, man. The Jesus that everybody's preaching. I see that in Richard. I see that in Corneille. I see that in Aiden. I see that in Pastor Milani. I see that in Pastor Derek. I see that in Cameron. I see that. I see the beauty of Christ in this church. I want to close. I believe that Jesus' heart is not just to show us signs saying this is what the church should look like. I believe that Jesus wants us to be the signs. And I'm not talking about a corporate expression, but individuals. That my life will become a signboard. That as people journey through their lives and they drive past me, that they would see, there's Jesus. And if they drive past Richard, they would see, like, there's somebody that looks like Jesus. And when they drive past in Power Church, that they would say, well, there's a whole lot of people that looks like Jesus. That's what I believe God wants from us. That in this time that we are living in, that we would become the signpost. In Matthew, I think it's Matthew chapter number 16, if I remember correctly, verse 3. People are asking Jesus for a sign. They say, show us a sign. Free translation. Jesus, show us a sign that you are who you say you are. And Jesus say, I'll show you no sign. But he speaks about the one sign that they have already, and that's the sign of Jonah. Free translation. Why did he speak about the sign of Jonah? Jonah didn't do any signs. Jonah himself was a sign to the town of Nineveh. Jesus came and he said, like Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days, as he was a sign to that specific city, I have come as a sign to you. What Jesus was saying, free translation, Jesus was saying, don't look for signs. I am the sign. I am the sign. So the question I'm asking you tonight in Power Church is, are we the signs? Are we the signs that show Jesus to the world? Are we the signs that accurately shows the world how incredibly beautiful Jesus is? Whether they are trapped in sin, whether they are doing things wrong, whether they are lost, angry at God, deceived in who they are or who they're not. It doesn't matter, that people will look at our lives and say, that's the kind of Jesus that I want to follow. That's the kind of Jesus that I want to give my life to. That people will look at us and accurately see our lives as signs of the beauty of Jesus. These signs shall follow, said Jesus. It's not just the miracles, the signs, the wonders, the fact that we can trample on snakes and scorpions, drink poison and won't hurt us. It's not just the visible signs and expressions. It's the fact that we, our lives have become a sign. The way that I live my life, the way that I live in joy, the way that I live in that constant place of repentance, constantly changing more into the image of Christ, constantly pursuing God, constantly longing for Him, constantly walking in fire, walking in passion, constantly living my life like Jesus. That's what is the sign to the church today. And that is the sign that the church should be to the world. I want to close. Whatever there is in your life that's been telling you you're not good enough, you're not spiritual enough, you're not heavy enough, heavy weight in the spirit to bring about change, I want to say in this evening, may every lie of your life be broken off. May every single one of those lies be broken. I'm here to tell you tonight that you have been chosen by God for a time such as this. It doesn't matter if you can smile, then smile like Jesus. And you will see, as you keep on smiling, God will add to you more. You will see more of Christ being manifested to your life. It might start with a smile and a hug. Soon you'll be laying hands on the sick and seeing them get well. Nobody, including Pastor Derek, started off as this mighty evangelist. It started with that first time, just stepping out, putting my heart out on my sleeve, saying, hey God, I'm going to trust you to help me. I want to share your word with somebody. I'm going to trust you that you would use my life to save souls, to bring people into your kingdom. It starts with those small steps of obedience. It starts with believing that you have something to give. And I'm here to tell you tonight, it doesn't matter who you are, where you're watching from. If it's the first time you're watching Empower Church online, it doesn't matter. You've got something to give. You've got something to give. Something in you looks like Jesus. Something in you is beautiful. Something in you can be admired and say, man, that looks like Jesus. That looks like something that can be applauded. May more of us walk past Reinhardt and not just say thank you for being bold and courageous, but see other qualities in him, in Corneille, in Derek, Pastor Milani, in Aiden, in everybody, every single person online, Zanine, Julie, Gwen, Sibongile, Francois, every single person that's watching online, may people walk past your life. May we walk past one another more and say, hey, I see the beauty of Jesus in you. I celebrate the Christ in you. Every one of these young men and ladies that's working in the sound desk, Sunday after Sunday, I want to celebrate you. I salute you, every single one of you, for being here Sunday after Sunday, for giving your lives for the cause of the King, for always coming to hug and say hi and being friendly and just always being around and just doing whatever is required of you. Thank you. I salute you. I want to say to you, it doesn't matter what your friends at school say, what people in varsity say, what your parents say, what family members say. I'm telling you, you look like Jesus, man. Every Sunday that I step in here, you make my heart jump with excitement because you're an awesome group of guys. Pastor Derek, you've got an awesome team there. Musa, in your absence, you've got an awesome team. And you guys look like Jesus. You are powerhouses in the Spirit. And we should encourage one another more to say, hey, may God do with your life everything exceedingly, abundantly, above, more than what you can ever imagine. Doesn't matter what you've done for God, you can do so much more. He's going to use your life. I see the beauty of Jesus in you. I want to encourage you today. And I want to pray for people today that in this moment, that you will feel that acceptance, that affirmation of the Father. His hand resting on your back saying, hey, I'm proud of you. I believe in you. You can do all things because I'm strengthening you. May this message go out to people that's never heard the gospel. May this message resound in the hearts of people. May this message be preached to those that's never heard the message saying, hey, Jesus loves you. He's got a plan for your life. I see some of His love in you. I see some of His life in you. Whether you believe it or see it, doesn't matter. God is for you. He's not against you. Come on. Souls. It's all about souls, man. But how will we ever save souls? How will we run out into the open like kiddies running after an ice cream truck? How will we ever get to that place if we don't believe that we are divinely loved and approved by God? Before Jesus started His earthly ministry, He went and He followed the instruction of His Father to be baptized by John the Baptist. He stepped into obedience, and as He came out of that water and the Spirit of God came upon Him, the heavens opened and the Father spoke. He said, this is My beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Those words would have propelled any single one of us into the world out there to say, doesn't matter what the enemy wants to do, doesn't matter what people say, if God says I'm approved, then I can do it. And I'm telling you tonight, even if you've not seen the heavens open and heard an audible voice from heaven, I'm telling you tonight that God approves of your life. It doesn't matter what sin and shame there is, God is much bigger than that. He's not intimidated by your shortcomings. He's not intimidated by your sin. It doesn't disqualify you unless you decide it will disqualify you. Come on, you can break through that. You can go beyond that. You can grow much bigger than that. Sin doesn't have to hold you back. The opinions of people doesn't have to hold you back. There's a voice from heaven saying tonight, you are My beloved son. You are My beloved daughter. I love you. I love the way you smile. I love the way you love people. I love the way you give. I love the joy in your heart. I love the way you pursue Me. I just love everything about you. And may that just propel us into greater fruitfulness. May that propel us to just leave behind everything that still entangles us, keeps us down, keeps us pressed down. May that just propel us into a wide open space where we can be free in God and be used by Him in our generation to save souls, bring people into His kingdom. Come on, if you don't believe that you are loved by God, how will you even convince any other person that he's loved by God? Come on, I'm serious. How will you convince anybody that he is loved by God if you don't believe you are loved? And that's my prayer tonight. Father, I pray for every single person. I pray for this awesome team of guys that's serving our online team in the building tonight. And every single person on Facebook, YouTube, church online, every person that will be watching this at a later stage, Father, I pray, let every single person be encouraged in this night to know that there's a God in heaven that calls Himself their Father, and He is shouting their names. He's saying, hey, I love you. I'm proud of you. Well done. Thank you for being incredibly awesome. Thank you for the way that you pursue me. Don't look into your sin. Don't look into your shortcomings. It will just keep you back. Keep your eyes on Jesus. The more you pursue me, the more you pursue the plan that I have for you, the less important those things will become in your life. This is my beloved son. You are my beloved daughter. I am well pleased in you. Father, I pray, Spirit of the living God, let that words, those words echo in the hearts of people in this night. Let those words find a place in our hearts, and may those words be solidified, cemented in our hearts. May we wake up every single day and know that we know that we know that we are loved by God. And there's nothing we cannot do. Father, I bless every single person. I speak over every online member in Jesus' name. God, every person that's watching tonight, let there be an explosion of purpose that takes place in their lives. May they walk out of, I wanted to say this, church, God, may they walk out of their rooms tomorrow morning and know that there's nothing they cannot do, because they have been destined to become a sign to their generation, a sign that points people to Jesus. God, may people see Jesus through our lives. I pray in Jesus' name. Come on, if you are online in the house and you agree with that, say amen and amen. Type amen and amen and amen. I want to ask every single person online, won't you share this message? Sometimes we've got this select group of people that we share it to. Share it with them as well, but share it with people that's out there that you know. People that's doubting in themselves, people that's doubting in their future, people that's doubting, is God there? Is He real? Does He love me? Will I live with Him for eternity? Will I go to hell one day? For people that's struggling within themselves, share it and say, listen, man, there's purpose in your life. Jesus has got a great plan with your life. There's so much of Jesus that's visible in and through your life. I love you. I bless you. I commend you for who you are. Come on, share this with somebody. Tag a friend. Share it on their timeline, WhatsApp message, doesn't matter. But share it with somebody tonight. Let the word of the Lord encourage every single one of us to say, this is our time to be a sign that points people to Jesus. I want to just, before I hand over to Pastor Stefan, I want to invite every single person to join us for our Empower 316 course. We're going to be speaking about purpose. We're going to be speaking about how to empower, or how to live a life of power in your world. Every single person watching, sign up. Send this link to every single person. After you've sent the link of the sermon tonight, just send the link and say, hey, register. This course will change your life. I promise you it will. There's a lot of awesome things happening. Our spiritual warfare class on Wednesday. Our Jesus conference coming end of the month, beginning August. And so many awesome things. Pastor Stefan will speak about that. But I want to encourage every single person, sign up for Empower 316. It's going to be an incredible time together. I pray that you've been blessed. I pray that you've been stirred. I pray that the word of the Lord has strengthened you, encouraged you tonight, that you will know that God has called you to be a sign in your generation. And Father, thank you that we can just come to you in this evening and just submit ourselves to you again. Lord, thank you that you, in your great love, in such abounding grace, God, that you would choose imperfect people to be signposts that points people to Jesus. Thank you for how you have positioned Empower Church to be a sign. God, help us to be an even more accurate sign to the world out there, that the world will look at us and churches around the world and not see anything else but a message of hope. Let people not hear that storm warning siren that stirs fear in their hearts and make them hide in underground bunkers. But may this church make a sound that lets people run out into the open. Jesus, may our lives be signs and sounds for your glory. In your name I pray. And if you agree with that, won't you say, amen.
If you've been impacted by this ministry in any way, we want to encourage you to partner with us financially and help us continue delivering God's word all around the world. visit www.empowerchurch.co.za and find the giving option that works best for you, as well as some of our latest resources. Thank you again for joining us. Now go and live an empowered life.